like to preach. Boy, you get around a bunch of preachers, and I mean, you know, you just want to preach a lot of stuff. Amen. And I mean, I got all kind of messages going through my mind that I'd like to be able to preach this morning. But I'm going to stick with missions. Amen.
Amen.
God has created a passion in my heart to see our world one to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Romans chapter number 12 has been turned there. I want to just take some time this morning. I mean, I'm telling you, I listened to the preaching last night, Brother Allen preaching on prayer, and I thought, man, I want to preach on prayer. Amen.
Yeah.
And then just listening to some of what other things was preached about. Someone alluded to the service yesterday morning. I got a message, you know, when your dreams discourage you. I said, that'd be a good camp meeting message right there. Amen. And what to do when what causes you to, I mean, what makes your heart beat? What makes you excited about serving God when God takes it away from you like he did with Isaac and Abraham? He told Abraham to take him an offering. And, you know, the very things that you were living for and had passion for, seemed like God begins to take those things away from you. What to do when your dream's discouraging? God said, no, don't preach that. Amen. And, but, you know, this morning, the reality is we're living in a world, and I know you know this, and I'm preaching to the choir on this, but we're living in a world where we crossed 7 billion people last year. 7 billion people. And it's hard for us to get our mind wrapped around that. I've been in a state for the last 20 years that had 750,000 people, all right? It's hard to get our mind wrapped around 7 billion. But we have a responsibility towards those 7 billion. 3.5 billion have never heard the name of our Lord Jesus Christ one time. 4.5 billion have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another billion beyond that, 3.5, have never heard. It's hard to imagine when we, here in America, and even out in South Dakota, there's a great need out there for churches, but it's hard to imagine with the truth that we understand, that we were born with, that we've lived with all of our lives. It's hard for us to grasp the fact that there are people in our world that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ one time. And we have a responsibility. It's not just a responsibility. I view it as a great privilege. Amen. But we have a responsibility to reach our world with the gospel of the grace of God. We need to understand. I'll read my text in just a moment. But we need to understand that we have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. We are living in the age where, I mean, the population's exploded. The technology's exploded. We see apostasy round about us. We see how terrible things are. And sometimes we say, man, I wish I'd have been born 50 years ago or 100 years ago. God brought us here at this time to reach our world today with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to try to focus on that. As we think about 7 billion people and 3.5 billion that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, much less, boy, and again, that's hard for me to grasp. There's never been a day in my life, never been a day went by that I did not hear the gospel. There's never been a day that I didn't read the Bible or someone else read the Bible around me. There's never been a week that's went by that I've not heard multiple messages. I've heard singing. I've heard preaching. It's a way of life. My whole life is flavored by the things of God. Amen. My whole life is directed by the Word of God. And to whom much is given, much is required. And I want to say this morning, we have a great obligation to reach our world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to look in Romans chapter number 12 this morning, verse 1 and 2. I've contemplated that question. I've thought about the question, how are we going to do it? I don't believe God would tell us to do something we couldn't do. I don't believe God would give His Son to die on the cross and to shed His blood for a world full of sinners. I don't believe He'd give His Son to die and then not provide a vehicle to reach those sinners with the gospel. And the vehicle's the church, and the vehicle is missionaries. Isabel Kuhn, a great missionary of yesteryear, said it's not God who does not call, it's man who will not respond. Amen. Boy, if there's anything we need in these days we're living, we need a revival of men that will respond to the call of God. Whether God says to send, you can't go, or whether God says go and let others send you, we need people to respond to the call of God and reach the unreached parts of our world with the gospel of the grace of God. John Keith Falconer, a missionary over 100 years ago, made the statement. He said, I have but one candle of life to burn, and I'd rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light. We need to understand, man, we've got one candle of life to burn. Young people, you've got one chance in eternity to make a difference for all of eternity. That's the life, the time that God's given you on this earth. And I'm telling you, you need to spend it for the Lord Jesus Christ and spend it in His cause and spend it reaching your world with the gospel of the grace of God. How are we going to do it? How are we going to reach our generation? The Bible said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence this morning in the precious name of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to stand here and to be able to preach the word of God. And I pray, Lord God, you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, there's a world that you bought and paid for with your blood. But they're not going to be in heaven unless they accept the gospel, and they can't accept the gospel unless they hear the gospel, and they can't hear the gospel unless someone tells, and they can't have someone tell them if people don't go and if people don't send. Lord, there's not a person in this room this morning, if they went out and bought a new pickup and paid cash on the barrelhead for it and went down to the dealer and had a special order and went down to the dealer to pick up that truck, if they didn't get what they paid for, they'd be complaining. They'd be upset. If they paid $50,000, Lord, for a brand new pickup truck, went to the dealer and it wasn't delivered there, it wasn't on time and it wasn't coming, there sooner or later, Lord, they'd go to that dealer and say, I want what I paid for. And Lord, I pray you'd give us a realization this morning more than ever before that you'd like to get what you paid for. You paid for the souls of this world, but they can't get saved if they don't hear the gospel, if they're not presented with the truth and given an opportunity to repent of their sins and trust in you. Work in our hearts this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm convinced this morning that if we're going to reach our world with the gospel, there's going to be a heavy price to pay. For the church, for families, for the individual. And that price, I believe, is given to us in Romans chapter number 12, where the Bible said, Paul, right under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's beseeching us based upon what Jesus Christ did for us, the price He paid for us, the sacrifice that He made for us. He was rich, but for our sakes, He became poor, that we through His riches, we could be made rich. Amen. And through His sacrifice. And the Bible said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we think about our heart, we think about our mind, but you know, our heart and mind is not what's going to reach the world. Amen. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. God will use that and work in that, but God's looking for some bodies this morning. Amen. God is looking for your body this morning. God's wanting you to be willing to put your body on an altar and give your body and your soul and your spirit lock, stock, and barrel to Him, so that He can use you to reach this world with the gospel of the grace of God. And if we're going to reach, and I want you to just listen to me this morning. Man, there has been a generation of yesteryear that understood what it meant to put your body on an altar for God and sacrifice it. Our world in yesteryear, there was great missionary movements. There were great areas, closed areas, that were reached with the gospel because there was a time when pastors, there was a time when evangelists, there was a time when missionaries understood that if we were going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we were going to follow Him, that meant we was going to have to follow Him through some hard places. Amen. If we were going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we were going to have to follow Him through a Gethsemane. If we were going to follow Jesus Christ, we were going to have to take up a cross in order to follow Him. And I want to submit to you this morning, we don't even qualify to be disciples of Christ, much less missionaries, if we're not willing to take up a cross daily and follow Him. Amen. The Lord's looking for a generation of people that'll be willing to forsake all to follow Christ. And I'm convinced we could reach out of America, we could reach our world with the gospel in our generation. If we was to raise a generation that was willing to forsake everything to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that were willing to leave it all behind. And I want to say this before I get into my message, but I want to say this, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's never asked you or I to do one thing that He didn't first do for us. He left the familiar to go to the foreign. He left his family to reach people that, I mean, was foreign as far as heaven goes. Amen. We were his enemies. He left fame and fortune. He left it all behind. The Bible said he made himself of no reputation. Amen. And took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of a man, and humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He left it all so that you and I could have it all. Amen. And now he's given you and I the grand opportunity, the privilege. He begs us in this passage, I want you to do the same thing for me that I've done for you. Amen. And if we could get a hold of that, amen. Man, we haven't been left here so that we can build ourselves the American dream. We haven't been, and I want to just say something. This may be controversial, and it's the first time I said it from the pulpit. I heard somebody else say it, and I thought it was good, and I'm going to quote them. God's not a white American. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. God's not a white American. Amen. God is God. Amen. And God gave everything for you and I. Amen. He wants us in turn to follow in His steps and forsake all to follow Him. Amen. In Romans chapter number 12, how are we going to reach our world? We're going to have to present our body a living sacrifice, which means we're going to have to be willing to pay the ultimate price. We're going to be willing to pay the ultimate price. Number one, I want to talk about sacrifice then this morning. 3 points about sacrifice I'll give you real quickly here. Number one, sacrifice is costly. The kind of sacrifice that the Lord's looking for, He said, I want you to be a living sacrifice. It is a costly sacrifice. When you come to that place where you lay something on an altar, you're sacrificing that. That'll cost you. I want to say if we're going to reach our world, people are going to have to be willing to pay a price. It's going to cost them to reach the world with the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. God ain't playing games when it comes to reaching the world. God wants to reach the world far more than we want to reach the world. God's not playing games. God paid the ultimate sacrifice. And He said, I want you to follow in my steps. Are you willing to pay the price? I'm reminded of the Old Testament. There's a story, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but there's a story in the Old Testament where David had sinned against God in numbering the people. And after he sinned against God, the death angel began to come across. And I believe 70,000 of some odd men were killed there by the death angel. And David went to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And he come to the hand of the angel was stopped there at the threshing floor of Araunah, otherwise known as Ornan, there in the Old Testament. And as David came there to offer that sacrifice, Ornan offered him the materials for the altar. He offered him the bulls to make the sacrifice with. And he said, I'll give it to you for free. And David made a statement that I'm convinced a lot of us don't understand fully and aren't living out practically in our lives. And I'm talking about myself as well. David said, I'll not offer a sacrifice of that which costs me nothing. If your sacrifice when it comes to reaching souls, whether it be local visitation, amen, whether it be worldwide missions, if your sacrifice isn't costing you, your sacrifice isn't sacrifice. If it don't cost us to serve God, something's wrong with our service, amen. Lest I be carried through the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. The Bible said we're to endure hardness as good soldiers. Paul went back and taught there at Iconium how that through much tribulation we would enter the kingdom of God. And I'm simply saying this morning, if we're not willing to pay a sacrifice, if we're not willing, somebody said, what's it mean to sacrifice to give? Oh, it doesn't mean sacrifice isn't given. Sacrifice is given up. It's not how much you've given for the cause of God. And I'm talking about your body this morning. Amen. It's not, I'm not talking about your spirit and mind. And we can preach about that, but your body. He said, I want your body as a living sacrifice. Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. And I know I'm preaching to the choir on this, but man, I'm preaching to myself as well. Listen to what I'm saying now. I want to ask you a question. How much have you given up to reach our world with the gospel? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand how we as Baptist preachers who know the truth of God's Word, how we sleep at night sometimes when we think about the people that have never heard the gospel and they're dying and they're going to a real hell. Do you believe that? I believe it. If we believe it, how do we sleep at night? Man, I'm telling you. Man, I'm old men of God. I'm telling you, they couldn't sleep at night. Man, they prayed through many nights. Amen. One preacher said, God gave us today as preachers to work, and God gave us the night to pray, and we better learn how to pray at night so we can work for God through the day. Amen. I'm simply saying this morning, how much are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to put your body? Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, I'll very gladly spend and be spent.
That's right.
The word spend there means to exhaust. Yeah. Paul said, I'm willing to exhaust myself. Listen, He was willing to exhaust his intellectual capabilities, and he had them. I mean, he was educated. Paul was willing to exhaust the strength of his body, and he did. I mean, he said in Romans 1, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. God, give us a generation of preachers who, as much as in them is, will take the gospel around this globe. Amen.
Amen.
He told Timothy, I held nothing back that was profitable. I put everything into it. And you can read that all through the New Testament. By the way, I want to just jump off into another message just for a moment. I'll tell you why Paul had a burden for souls. I'll tell you why Paul reached out for souls. I'll tell you why he sacrificed for souls. I'll tell you why he had a passion for souls. You want to know the secret? He had a passion for Christ. You can't have a passion for souls if you don't have a passion for Christ. Amen. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Can I say this real quickly? If you're here and you don't have a passion for souls, and it don't bother you that there's 3.5 billion people on the other side of our planet that are going to hell, can I ask you, when's the last time you've walked and talked with God? When's the last time that you said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God? Oh, George Beverly said when I was a kid, we'd listen to him on records, and he would sing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. Amen. You can't start walking and talking with Jesus. And you, boy, if you've been saved at the time and doing anything for God, you know what he was singing about. Amen. Boy, you start walking and talking with God, buddy. And you know what? You'll start falling in love with what he loves. And what does he love? He loves the world. Amen. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Service no greater than his Lord. He sacrificed his all. What do we sacrifice? It'll be costly. If your sacrifice this morning ain't costing you nothing, you better consider what you're sacrificing. If you're really sacrificing, amen. If you're sacrificing, it's not costing, something's wrong. Jesus said one day, he was over there in the temple, and there were folks that was giving out of their abundance, and there was a little widow woman that come, and she put 2 pence. And he said, they gave out of their abundance, but she gave more than all of them, because she gave all she had. Can I tell you, if we're going to reach our world with the gospel, it's going to take men, women, boys, and girls that are willing to give their all, everything they have, not just tipping God out of their abundance. Well, when I have a little extra time, I'll give it to God. When I feel like serving God, I'll serve God. You know, when I feel like I have a little extra money, I'll go ahead and support a missionary, amen. Might even make a missions trip one of these years. My soul, there's a world dying and going to hell. And we sit back here. I'm just being honest with you. I'm preaching to myself in comfort with our convenience. Amen. And we're letting our world tag go to hell. The Bible said that many have not the knowledge. Some have not the knowledge of the truth. I speak this to your shame. Amen. As long as there's people in our world that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, there ought to be a sense of shame about Christians. Amen. If we're not doing all we can to reach our world. I'm telling you. Amen. Our sacrifice, it must be costly. It's going to have to involve giving your all.
That's right.
I don't know if you're willing to give your all. Can I just say this? If you're not willing to give your all, and I'm not being smart, and the Lord knows that I'm not a mean preacher. I don't want to be a mean preacher. I don't. But if you ain't willing to give your all, God ain't willing to use. He's not interested in using you.
That's right.
Here's what he said. He said, which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost to see if he has sufficient to finish? Lest when he started to build, and it doesn't have sufficient to finish, he becomes a laughingstock. And I'm paraphrasing. And those around say, this man began to build, and they mock him. He was not able to finish. And we've got a lot of Christians. And I'm not being smart. I've lived some of my life right there myself. Started to build. Started to make that sacrifice. Started to be willing to pay the price until it started to get costly. And then when it started to cost us some fame and some fortune and some of our finances and some friendships, and when God began touching our heart, we realized we got to leave our family. All of a sudden, amen, we say, I don't think I can finish building. I don't think I can keep on going. I'm telling you, it was in the context of that parable that Christ said, if you're not willing to forsake all, you can't be my disciple. Amen. And that's the whole picture there. Amen. God's not looking at half-hearted Christians. People that are willing to go part of the way. People that are willing to serve from comfort-based or convenience-based. God's looking for Christians that are willing to give all they got for the cause of Christ. God help us, amen. I go to churches all across this country as a missionary. I try to go on visitation with the preachers. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. But God help us. We go to church with 200 people, and it's the preacher and his wife, and maybe a deacon, maybe a Sunday school teacher on visitation, and nobody else is out there because they don't have the time. God help us, amen, to get a burden here and to get a burden for our world. Now, here, I've got to move on to point number two. Not only is the sacrifice costly, but according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you can like this or lump it, it doesn't matter to me, amen. But Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 said, you got to present your body a living sacrifice, and then he used another word, holy. 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 And I want to say that sacrifice is not only costly, but it must be consecrated. I want to make a point real clear out of 2 Timothy, first and 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible said in a great house, and I preach this everywhere I go on purpose. If I preached it here a few months ago, I'm giving it again on purpose because there's a great need for this right here. Listen to what I'm saying. In a great house, that only invests the gold and silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. And God said, if a man will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. That little word meet means fit for the master's use. I'm going to tell you something. I believe everything our brother just said. God's used us in spite of ourselves. Amen. Because the goodness of God leads us to repentance. But let me say it this way. If you want God to use you to his potential through your life, and if you want a reward at the judgment seat of Christ, you got to do it God's way. I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a generation where folks are compromising the principles of God's Word. Preachers are preaching about salvation, and they're preaching about service, and they're missing sanctification. And as Christians, there is a personal responsibility that you and I have to keep our body, soul, and spirit sanctified before the Lord God. The Bible said, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Amen. I have given this illustration church after church. My three boys, they're not with me right now. They're doing school.
Amen.
My boys, I'm going to tell you something. They're like any other American boy. In fact, probably any other boy in the world. They like to eat. They like food. We lived out in Hoven, South Dakota. He's an hour and a half from McDonald's.
Amen.
Well, we got a reputation, and they are literally eating it up. Man, we was down here at Brother Shepherd a couple months ago. He took us out to Golden Corral. Man, my boys love Golden Corral. Man, I'm telling you. We got in there, but see, I worked at Golden Corral for 4 years when I was a teenager. And I learned some things about Golden Corral. They got good food, but the dishwashers don't always work real well. At least the one I worked at. My boys, now, I'm telling you, they're saved, but I mean, they're still sinners. But listen to what I'm saying. Now, they like to eat. They walk into a Golden Corral, and I taught them, man, when they was little, I said, man, when you go to a restaurant, look at that plate before you start putting your food on there. Some of y'all let the waitress get your coffee, you'd be real wise. Amen. You get your own coffee cup and look at it before she fills it up. Amen. You got no idea what you're drinking. Amen. You might be drinking someone else's leftover macaroni and cheese. Amen. In your coffee cup because it didn't go to the dishwasher properly. Amen. You say, being gross? I'm just telling you what I saw. My boys, they love to eat. We went into a Golden Corral recently, as it happened probably once every three times ago. And one of my boys, I think it's Jesse, he reached over for a plate. He was excited. I mean, Jesse's the kind, he's so excited about eating, you can have him at Golden Corral, and he's already asking when's the next time we're going to be at Golden Corral. Amen. I mean, he likes it. But he reached over and he got that plate, and I watched him, he picked that plate up, and he's going to head to the salad bar, and he saw some leftover food on that plate. It was dirty. And Jesse goes, oh! And he went and put it down and tried to wash his hand off. Here's my point. If my little boy, who's a sinner, won't use something unclean for his use, do you think the thrice holy God of heaven is going to use someone knowingly unholy for his use? Bear listen to what I'm saying, preachers. Amen. You want God to use you? And I know people say, well, I tell you, I got secret sin and God's been using me. Don't mistake the goodness of God that leads you to repentance for the blessings of God condoning your wickedness. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Don't think for a moment that any work, any preaching, anything that's done in the power of the flesh will have any reward whatsoever at the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be no reward. I'm simply saying if you want to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, then you've got to do it your way. I'm convinced, amen, that if we had people that were willing to pay the ultimate, willing to give their all and be holy, usable in God's hands, I'm convinced our world could be reached with the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes,
I'm convinced. The way I see it, and maybe some of you older preachers can help me, but the way I see it, there's two reasons that there's 3.5 billion people that are unreached. It's because some ain't willing to pay the price.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a whole lot that can't pay the price because they're not willing to be holy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's preachers that's answered the call. There's missionaries on the field right now, and they're doing absolutely nothing when it comes to things of eternal value because there's sin in their life. God can't bless that. And it hinders us. And it hairlips us. And we wonder why we don't have the power of God. Are y'all with me?
Yes,
let me get to my third point. And I'm going to wrap this up. I got to get to my third point. But listen to what I'm saying here real quickly. The third point. We talk about sacrifice. It's got to be costly. But it ain't costing you to serve God. I'm just telling you. You're not serving God. If you ain't consecrating yourself, praying, begging God, amen, to help you to live a holy life and keeping, I mean, nothing between my soul and the Savior. I'm going to tell you, we ain't going to reach our world, but listen. When we're willing to pay the price, and we're willing to be holy, and I don't care how unpopular, and I'm telling you, I'm just going to stop right here, run another rabbit, just listen to me for a minute. We've got preachers right now that have been preaching in this area of the country for 30 and 40 years respectively. That have preached the holy principles of God's Word. They preached holiness. They preached personal sanctification. They preached being separated to God from this world to be used of God. And some of those preachers, now I'm talking about in our independent Baptist groups, because that's who I preach to most of the time, amen. Listen, and some of those men today, they are starting to repudiate what they themselves preached from the Word of God for the past 40 years. I'm talking about repudiating it. You listen to me. And I made a statement a while back, and I stand by that statement. If you stood up and preached this book for 40 years, and you say, well, I'm sorry, but I was wrong for those 40 years, and I have now been enlightened. I have understood the grace of God like never before. I have been freed. The bondage of the law is no longer... You listen to me. If you preach that for 40 years and then you repudiate it and getting all this grace awakening. By the way, let me say, if you understood the grace of God like the Bible preaches it, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to live godly, it teaches us to live soberly, and it teaches us to live righteously in this present world. Amen. You listen to what I'm saying. You was either wrong for 40 years, and if you was wrong for 40 years preaching something, you think I want to listen to you now? How do I know 5 years from now you won't back up and want to preach to my family now? You was either wrong for 40 years or you were right for 40 years. And if you were right for 40 years, you're a compromiser. Amen. You say you're being mean and ugly. I promise you, I don't think there's a mean, ugly bone in this body. Amen. I love people. I don't like to be controversial, but I'm telling you, we need a revival. Now listen, man, we've got missionaries coming in from the field. I pastored for 15 years out in South Dakota, started 2 churches. We support missionaries. We got missionaries coming in saying, I can't believe churches that supported me when I went to the field 4 years ago, the same pastor, come back to that church now and see what's going on in the past 4 years. Listen to what I'm saying, man. We need a revival of holiness. We're going to be used for God. Amen. If we're willing to live that life where we give it all, And how could you not? I mean, seriously, how could you not give it all to Him who's given all for you?
Yeah,
how could you not? Costly, consecrated. This third point has nothing to do with your eye. According to Romans chapter number 12, verse 1, if you'll give your body a living sacrifice, holy, that third point comes right in there. You'll be acceptable unto God.
Amen.
How many of y'all have ever seen somebody, maybe it was a layman in the church, maybe it was a pastor, maybe an evangelist, maybe a lady in the church, but you looked at them and you said, I'm going to tell you something, that person has the touch of God on them. I'm not just talking about when they're preaching. I'm talking about just, man, you just want to be around them. You say, man, I'm telling you, they saved God. There's something different about them. Man, they're, and you realize, man, they've got the presence and the power of God. Now, I want to say this. Moses said to God, when God came to Moses and said, I want you to go over there and take my people. God was mad at his people. Amen. And he said, Moses, they're your people. Take your people over there. And Moses said, I know they're your people. Amen. They're not mine. They're your people. But Moses made a statement. He said, God, if you don't go with me, if you don't carry us, I don't want to go. Man, I don't want to go to Africa. You think I want to go to Africa if God don't go with us? Amen. I don't want to go anywhere if God don't go with me, much less to Africa. Amen. You listen to what I'm saying. Boy, I'm telling you, we need the touch of God like never before. We need the presence of God. That's the missing ingredient right there, friend. We don't have the presence of God. That's why we've had to bring so many programs in. Because we don't have the presence of God. We're not willing to pay the price. We're not willing to be consecrated, lock, stock, and barrel. And we paid for it by not having the presence of God. Well, every now and then you run into somebody and you say, I'm telling you right now, I want to be around that person. Man, I'm telling you, they got God all over them. And you can tell they got God all over them. You can't have somebody as big as God on you without everybody being able to tell. I mean, God's pretty big, amen. We were kids one time. We were playing a little game and going through the woods in some kind of a little game. And one of the boys, we didn't know there was an electric wire running between where the trees was and the field was. We was running through there. And this boy was running through. And man, it was dew all over his pants. And his pants got good and wet. And we was all jumping over that. We was trying not to get caught by the other team. And this boy hit that wire. I heard him holler. You could see this little arc. He was hollering. And that was just a little bitty old thing called electric. God's got all power.
Amen.
I'll tell you something, man. We talk about sacrifice. In the Old Testament, you know one of the clear, obvious signs. I'm not talking about even when they came into the tabernacle. I'm thinking of instances like Elijah. Let me give you the story of Elijah. Elijah challenged Ahab and the false prophets of Baal to a showdown on Mount Carmel. Man, I like it. Amen. When a man of God has enough God to him, he knows he can challenge him and God will come through. Amen. And he challenged them. And they got up there on the mountain. And I'm telling you, they was in a drought. There was no water to be found. But Elijah sent some boys down to get some water. The little bit of, I mean, remember Obadiah? When they found Elijah, Obadiah's out looking for water to feed the king's asses.
Yeah.
There's no water in the land. But Elijah said, we're going to find some because I want everybody to know this is God and not Elijah.
Amen.
He said, build the altar. Put the sacrifice of man and prophets of Baal, man. They jumped around there. And we got a lot of that going on today in the independent Baptist movement. Amen. We can shout. We can jump. We can scream. We can holler. We can run. We can laugh. We can say, God met with us. But I'm going to tell you something. Them prophets of Baal. All I'm saying is where's the evidence?
Right.
Something big as God meets with you. Amen. It'll last a little longer than the morning service.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Man, people, oh, we shouted it down. And then went back, started talking about the ball game. Come on, tell me God was with you. Amen.
Right.
He met with us. Amen. You say you're being mean. I'm trying to be as nice as I can be. Amen. Talking about something big as God. We sang the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. Listen to what I'm saying. There's those false prophets of Baal. Oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal. Man, they're having themselves a good old time. And they got done. Elijah mocked them.
Right.
And I do believe a good man of God. Amen. I believe when he's full of the Holy Ghost. I believe God sometimes will let him mock the prophets of Baal at their own altar. Amen. But he mocked. He laughed. They got done. Come about that evening time. And he said, go get some water. Dig some trenches. We want to make sure everybody sees the water. There's nothing underhanded going here. There's no double counting for the service going on here. Amen. Oh, yeah. I'm not going there, but I mean, I want to go there really bad. Oh, there's no steroid Christianity going on right here. Amen. Oh, no, we got the real thing. He said, dig a trench out around there and pour water on it. And that's exactly what they did. And he said, do it a second time. And did it a second time. And buddy, Elijah got up there. And man, he prayed 63 words. And guess what happened? The fire of God consumed the sacrifice. Consume the sacrifice. Not only get the sacrifice, it licked up all the water in the trenches. Amen. When you're willing to pay the price and live a holy, consecrated life, you'll find that God and His fire will consume you. Like that bush Moses saw there in the Old Testament, it'll be burning, but it won't burn up. Amen. I don't know about y'all this morning, but I want to be consumed with the presence and the power of God. I want God on me. I don't want people to come into my presence and wonder, is that God or not? Is God meeting? Does he have the touch of God on him? I want people to know. I want to see evidences. Amen. And I know there's times that God puts us in places, amen, where it seems like he goes underground. That river runs underground for a long time and it brings us through some dry and barren places. But I'm going to tell you, preacher, if that's where you are this morning, if you're in a dry and barren land, listen to me. Man, you need to say like the psalmist in Psalm 63, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee in a dry and barren land where there is no water to see thy power and thy glory as I've seen it in the sanctuary. Does it bother you when the presence of God isn't real in your life? Does it bother you when there's no visible manifestation of the power of God upon your ministry? If we're going to reach our world, we're going to have to be consumed by the presence and the power of God, and only a people who's consumed with God are going to be able to effectively reach our world with the gospel of the grace of God.
You're right.
We need, man, I'm telling you, we got powerless Christians, powerless preachers. I think one of the worst judgments that a preacher could face at Judgment Day, a powerless, passionless preacher. I think the worst judgment he could face is to be sentenced to listen to himself for all of eternity. Amen. Amen. We need the power of God. We need the presence of God.
Yes, we do.
3.5 billion people are going to hear the gospel and have an opportunity. It's going to require us to be willing to pay the sacrifice. Are you willing to pay the sacrifice? We'll say something else about that. Just close the message. Talk about being costly and consecrated and paying the price and God consuming us. And I want to tell you, when God consumes you, when you get close to God, I'm going to tell you something. There'll be things God will do in your life.
Oh, yes.
I'm not just talking about the visible manifestation of the presence and power of God. I'm talking about those thorns that God will allow in your life.
Right.
And you like Jacob of old wrestle with God and say, I'll not let you go till you bless me.
Right.
God touched him.
Yeah.
You get close to God, God may touch you.
That's right.
Amen.
You may walk with a limp.
That's right.
You may lose a child.
Yep.
You may deal with a handicap.
Yep.
You know, Jacob came to that place, man. It's God talking to him. God said, let me go for the day breaking. God could have. He didn't have to be wrestling with him.
Right.
That God was seeing how much Jacob wanted him.
Yeah, that's right.
And God touched the joint of his thigh. And at that point, all he could do is hang on. Have you ever tried to wrestle with a hip out of place, a thigh out of place?
Yeah.
You ain't going to do much wrestling.
No, sir.
All he could do is hang on. I'm going to tell you something. When God begins to touch you and you start going through hardships and trials and you say, man, I'm trying to live a life consecrated to God. I'm trying to live a life, amen, where I'm paying the price. Why don't I have the blessings of God, man? Why is God touching my home? Why is he touching my body? Why is he touching my family? Understand, that does not mean that the smiles of heaven are not upon you. God may be getting real close to you and teaching you how to operate.
That's right.
Hanging on him.
Amen.
And the power of his spirit. And bring you to a place where you can't operate in the power of the flesh. If that's what it takes to be used of God. And I mean it. If that's what it takes to have the power of God. I thank God this morning for his power.
Amen.
I want the presence and power of God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
God help us. Let's pray. Lord, take the message and work in hearts. Oh God. God, I pray you'd help us to reach our world with the gospel. Help us to be willing to pay the sacrifice that it's going to cost to reach our world with the gospel. Oh, God, help us, I pray. Well, I appreciate what Brother Allen said last night. We can go through the presence and power. We can have the presence and power of God go through trials and tribulations.